it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
Of Morning Focus here on Clare FM, and I'm joined in studio by our Friday panel. We'll meet them in a moment, but first of all, let's remind ourselves of some of the biggest news stories of the past 7 days.
Ireland is bidding to hold the Rugby World Cup 2023. If we're successful, it'll be the most exciting event ever to take place on this island. We have the ambition, we have the confidence. We will create an unforgettable experience.
There's no doubt that this infrastructure is going to help to try and create jobs in the West of Ireland. That's what this is all about. You know, making it easier for people to be able to travel up and down the road, give people an opportunity to be able to do business in the West of Ireland.
It was identified following the census there's a significant number of vacant properties in the country. And following on from that, it was decided and piloted by Mayo County Council, whereby they would create a website for a member of the public to go on and advise of a vacant property in their location.
We're thrilled that when you put in huge effort like that and you have so many volunteers that might just give an hour or might give many hours each week that it's been acknowledged here today.
It's absolutely disgusting. Yeah. We're in the position now, we may have to sit 8 children down and cancel their Christmas holiday because the flight costs are going up rapidly and we just can't pay for them flights.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
He doesn't understand the power that he has being the leader of this beautiful country. He doesn't understand how many kids, no matter the race, look up to the President of the United States for guidance.
That is LeBron James, probably the best basketball player in the world. And his response to what I've written down here was a potshot by US President Donald Trump that he aimed at American footballers who've been protesting during the national anthem before games in the States. You also heard from one UK customer affected by the ongoing Ryanair cancellations, from Mary Howard, councillor and Tidy Towns volunteer, after Ennis was again acknowledged in the National Awards scheme this week. Siobhan McNulty of Clare County Council on the new vacant housing register. Minister Michael Ring and what he sees of the benefits of the new M18 motorway extension between Cork and Tuam that opened this week. And at the top, an excerpt of a promotional video for Ireland's bid for Rugby World Cup 2023. The voice was Brian O'Driscoll. I'm joined in studio this morning by Martin McMahon. He's the Clare chairman of the ICMSA from McCallaghan's Mills. John Considine, who was a former Labour Party representative for Humberside County Council in the UK, is from Cree. And Dermot Hayes as well, Innocent Curfin, part of the Clare Leader Forum, and indeed a Labour candidate here at home as well in the last local elections. Good morning to you all.
Morning.
And
morning,
thanks very much for joining us in the programme this morning. I'll start off with the rugby, Martin, since that was the last thing we heard. Will the Rugby World Cup be great for Ireland? And is it worth the cost?
Definitely, I think so, Gavin. I think it would be a huge achievement if Ireland was to get it. I think it would be it would really put us on the map of the world. And I suppose, you know, to be great from the amount of people and the amount of people that would get to recognise what a beautiful country Ireland is. You have a huge amount of visitors and it would be great for sport, great for rugby. And I think it would be terrific for both north and south, because to be working both sides of the border, you'd have it. And I think the fact that there's a lot of talk about borders and that now, it would be great to see the World Cup here and to see how it would manage, and that we would have the whole island working together without a border.
And of course the issue that we have is potentially what could happen between now and 2023.
Correct.
A lot of benefits, and I'm not going to argue with you on any of those, but are all of those benefits worth whatever costs there are in staging the tournament, plus £120 million sterling, which it's fluctuating at the moment, but 130 odd million euro that we just literally have to hand over as the fee for the right to pay it? Are you happy for your taxes?
Yes, I suppose you wouldn't be happy. Nobody is happy parting with money, but when you can see the benefits and you can see how you can capitalise on it, I think that the amount of people that it would bring to the country, and I suppose I don't understand really how it works, but I think we can set the cost and the gates. It can be set here, I think, to bring back a lot of the cost. So depending on what you spend, you can probably up the ante in order to bring back what you have spent. But I think when you consider the benefit to Ireland, I think it you would have to agree that you would have to spend it from the point of view of the amount of people that will visit, the amount of money they will spend, and the amount that the country will gain from the amount of people that will come in. I think it would outweigh the cost of what it costs to get.
You see it as a shrewd investment.
I think it would be.
Well, I'm thinking of the 2003, the Special Olympics, when so many countries, I can't remember how many countries came to Ireland and actually went into various communities around Ireland, which was phenomenal. And, you know, when you've thought about 10 years before that, in 1993, people thought, shit, that couldn't be done, really. But it worked out very well for Ireland. And I'm delighted that the idea of a World Rugby Cup, but as regards underwriting, there's a serious commitment there to underwriting the budget. I mean, surely to heavens, the rugby world themselves have made millions of euros, and I'm interested to see.
But this is the whole idea about it. They award the rights to host the event to a country, and it's you have to play by their rules. And if, like, France and South Africa are competitors, they're offering even more money.
Of course, I can see that, but I'm just charmed by the idea that Bono and Bob Geldof are two of the people that have rolled out there, and I don't think either the gentlemen have ever played rugby, in fairness to them. You know, I think that's...
Bob may have at
well,
some point.
Well, I'd say he looked at the ball, I'd say. But the millions of euros that's going into it, yes, I would agree with that, and it's a great idea that Ireland, actually, we have the capabilities in our GAA stadiums, and I'm delighted as a coming together of GAA and rugby world, really, and the soccer world coming together. I think that's phenomenal.
So you have no issue with the money?
Well, I have an issue with the money, but I'm saying getting back the money, they're recouping the money. I would expect that we recoup the money, quadruple the money.
But we need it now. Is that not the whole point? That you've talked about issues on these airways before that are facing people with disabilities and some of the extra money that your group, Clearly Reform, have been seeking for those people.
Yeah.
You've got housing, you've got health, you've got... the list goes on.
This is an investment. This is a definitely investment. And in terms of the long-term gain for a town like Innes and the surrounding areas, there will be a return of it.
There'll be no games in Clare. Probably once.
There will be,
No, not in Clare.
We have rugby clubs, yeah.
But there won't be any matches of the tournament.
Oh, we won't be tournament, but next door in Limerick.
Yes, that's true. And literally just over the border in Thomond Park. John?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it should have happened a long, long time ago. I think it's a wonderful bid. I listened to, pardon me, Liam Neeson, and he was absolutely fantastic. He sold Ireland.
That video, yeah.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And I think when you look at the investment, you're talking about, I looked it up myself to see what the ticket sales would be like. They're expecting to sell 2.2 million tickets, which is what happens in these sort of events. The net gain to the Republic of Ireland and the North would be around about 1.5 billion. So it's a very good investment in terms of £120 million. But it's what it brings. If you look at the venues, there are 9 venues that are listed, which is better than South Africa, better than France. And the venues are, you've got Celtic Park in Derry, which is 22,000, and you've got the Casement Park in Belfast, which is 34,000. Then you move down, and obviously the biggest one is Aviva, which is 51,700.
Crow Park would be bigger again.
Yeah, and McHale Park in Castlebar, 38,000. Then you've got Limerick, and I think that Limerick is around about 27,000. Then you've got Galway, which is another one, 26,500. So all around the country. So having 9 venues is what it's all about. I've always said that Ireland should have bid for the World Cup in soccer.
Really?
Yeah, as part of a Celtic bid, looking at Scotland, Wales, Ireland and England. You could actually do it quite easily with the amount of stadiums they've got. But
England could also do it for quite easily on its own.
Well, yeah, they could do. But I think a giant bid. I think I love to see bids like this. And I think the idea that Northern Ireland and South of Ireland, they play rugby together. They play rugby very well together. They're well known throughout the world. And it's an absolutely fantastic idea. And I do not think for 1 minute that Ireland will lose out. Look at tourism. Look at Shannon. Look at all the things that we need to develop. We've just got to go out and publicise it.
My concern is actually the finances. That's World Rugby and some within World Rugby will see an extra 30, 40 million pounds coming from South Africa and from France and think about what they can do with that money and ultimately we could be beaten simply in an auction.
The thing with South Africa, Gavin, I wouldn't want to go to South Africa to a rugby match. I mean, the crime issue in South Africa is horrendous. Mm.
But they hosted the Rugby World Cup and the Soccer World Cup without issues in recent years.
And if you can afford the security to take you from A to B and all the rest of it, then that's fine. In Ireland, you come to Ireland, which is a pleasant place to come to. It's ideal for rugby. It's a very, very sporting country. You've only got to look at... I was coming back on a plane last week and you look at the amount of Man United, Chelsea... Sure. Arsenal supporters. Ireland is people are into sport. Okay. They will enjoy it. They will benefit from it. I think it's good. It's good for Ireland. It's good for tourism.
As well. Great connectivity as well, I think.
Yeah, you've got to look at it in terms of tourism. I mean, if you look at the amount of people who will come here, I have people to come over here to volunteer for the FLA. They came from, they'd never been here before. They're coming people back come, again next people, year. People they want to come from, back once they see it.
People come from Russia, we were told, to volunteer. Yeah. It's a remarkable change, Martin, if you go back not even 20 years, maybe a touch more, to see the GAA rolling in to such an extent behind this bid. Most of the stadia are Gaelic Games stadiums, and what is it, it's 10 years or thereabouts, I think, since the first, maybe a little bit more, since the first rugby matches at Croke Park.
Yes, it's great to see that happening. And like, there is such a fine, Croke Park is such a fine stadium, and it's great to see it rolled out. And rugby is such a huge game in Ireland now at the present moment. The amount of fans and the amount of people that really enjoy rugby and are so much into their rugby, that travel, they do an awful lot of, the supporters do an awful lot of travelling to rugby, and it would be great to see it hosted in such a little, small little country like Ireland. I think it would be a huge achievement to be, and as John says, for tourism, I think it would be the biggest boost that Ireland ever got in tourism. Mm. And from our food producing effect as well, that we have such such
we'd
great...
have to feed them.
We have to feed them. And we'd have our beef and our lamb and our milk and our cheese, and we'd have a huge investment from that point of view as well. So I think it's a huge achievement.
You know, the point Martin makes is, I walked into a supermarket in Northern Cyprus last week, and guess what it was on the shelf? Kerrygold cheese and all the other different things. Wonderful to see. Yeah. And this is the sort of, but he's absolutely right. This is what it's about. If you look at people like me who left Ireland in the 60s, we come back now and we see what's developed, how the stadiums massive, are developed, yeah. The road network. Yes. Absolutely fantastic. You can go from A to B, now no problem, new motorway opening to Galway. What more do we want? We'll, we should be going promoting all that.
We'll talk about that a little bit later on. You brought the tan back with you as well. Do you not think that Dermot, that there may be some critical of the financial element? I mean, in 2 weeks' time, we'll be putting 120 million aside in a budget when everybody will be left disappointed by the sounds of it in terms of what will be given to them.
What I would have expected, those guys that are filthy rich, I'm thinking about Dennis O'Brien and guys like that, who should have been approached and do an investment, really, because they're good at investing in events. And yes, I would be nervous about the taxpayer investing. But nonetheless, if it's in order to get the bid, and I mean, John has well outlined it, Martin has outlined it, the investment, it will pay back so many more times should we get the World Cup.
I'd have much more concerns if we were building a lot of stadia, but that's not the case here.
So Gavin, can I just point out one thing, though?
Yeah.
There is, Ireland, to win this bid, you're going to need 20 votes. Mm-hmm. Now, there's each country, I think, Wales, Scotland, Theresa May has already said she's supporting Ireland. Mm. So you've got 12 votes. So I think Ireland will get 12 votes. I think probably South Africa will get another 12. Mm. So anybody who's got family living in those countries, especially Australia and New Zealand, try and get their country. Yeah. Get vocal about it. Mm. Because I think the New Zealand vote and the Australian vote especially would be very, very important to Ireland. Now, they would possibly lean towards South Africa.
Just to stay in the South, yeah.
Yeah, but
well, it was in New Zealand there a number of years ago.
It was. But I would encourage Irish people in Australia and New Zealand and places like that to get a little bit vocal about this bid. It's very, very important. I think is it 15th of November we get the results?
I think so, yeah, just a few weeks away.
Yeah. So I think it's important. So if anybody out there...
If you know anybody higher up in a rugby union around the world, get in touch with them.
We'll Port for Ireland.
Right, we'll be back with more in a minute.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now. 1850 400 964, or email focus Clare.fm.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. Our Friday panel are still with me in studio this morning. Dermot Hayes, Martin McMahon and John Considine. We've talked rugby there unanimously in support of the Rugby World Cup coming to Ireland. Tom on the Bridge isn't, though. The GAA is selling its soul, he says. No Rugby World Cup. Still plenty, it seems, in that particular one. And as regards for paying it, we liked Martin's suggestion during the break. Post-dated check. Make the money first and then pay them their cut. Doubt they'll go for that one, though. We won't be getting any votes with that approach. Anyways, I wanted to move on and to talk about something else that was in the news this week. Indeed, you heard about it in our news here yesterday. A vacant house register is now online, in which we are all being invited to say the least, to come forward and to tell authorities that there's a house near you that is vacant, and perhaps it could be used to tackle the housing crisis. Is this, Dermot Hayes, a very good idea in terms of trying to put vacant houses back into use? Or, as somebody who's on the committee that deals with housing in Clare County Council, is it a charter for nosy neighbours?
Well, this is another attempt, really, at sorting out the housing crisis. Really, we know there's vacant houses, and it's been well documented in the census of the last number of years. Really, there's no question of that, and the council knows what they are. And this is another attempt.
Why do we need the register?
Richard's Register, I think they want to get the community involved, and they want to get people involved in naming and shaming their neighbours, their friends, their relations. And I have taken upon myself to name two houses that are vacant myself.
Okay, so I won't ask you directly about those, but why have you decided to use your own term to name and shame those?
Well, names? The whole idea is that we have 51 people homeless in Clare, 51 people homeless, which really, it is a crisis. And I've called on the council several times at meetings in the last 2 years to call it a crisis, and they haven't called it a crisis. And it is a crisis now when you have 51 people homeless in Clare, a small county like County Clare, and so many nearly 2,000 people on the housing list. So somebody has to stand up and shout.
But why are you doing this exact approach? Well, I know that you've been invited to be fair.
I'm making an effort. I'm putting it up to the council officials now. I'm named two places that I know that are vacant, houses that are vacant, two fine houses, and I'm hoping there'll be a response. I don't know what the council will respond to. They're going to say, we got your details, thank you very much, bye. Because the CPO now, I mean, the Attorney General has said there is no blockage to using CPOs now. The council and the government can use CPOs to purchase houses now if necessary.
Okay, so
there's no legal impediment there.
You think it can make a difference, what you're saying this morning?
Okay. I mean, we have to stand up. We have, as community, we cannot stand by. I mean, cannot stand by and see people homeless or waiting on the housing list. There's 13 social housing agencies in Clare, 13 of them, and about 5 of them active. And yet they cannot make a dent, in the housing crisis in Clare, really. So it comes back to the local authority again and the government. They have to build houses.
Martin, would you do the same thing? I'm not going to ask you if there's any in your own area or anything.
Well, I think the big problem here is that we have stopped building houses. And we haven't. We have very little housing being built for the last few years. Very little council houses and houses being put up for people throughout Ireland. Mm. And I think that's what has led to where we are today. We have a serious crisis of homeless people, not just in Clare, but all over Ireland, especially around Dublin. And it's really down to the government and the lack of building houses. And I suppose one of the first things we saw happening when the present government went into power was there was what they called ghost housing estates that were
half finished. Exactly, yeah.
The roofs was on them, the windows was on, the doors was in a lot of cases. And they went in and they knocked those houses. And I think the first thing I said, this is a disgrace to see what was going on.
Because there was so much money invested
in those buildings. And to think that a digger was brought in and done away with the valuable property that was already on the site.
Some of them were finished, to be fair, and completed and are now being lived in. So it did go both ways.
And we're now at the point where we are, and it's all down to the lack of building houses.
But at the same time, we have a lot of empty homes, and that's what this particular initiative is getting at. They want those to be identified, and again, as Dermot says, to name and shame the owners.
Yeah,
but if you own one of those houses, maybe it's empty for a fair reason. I mean, is this the way to go down?
Quite possible. And like CPOs, compulsory purchase orders of any description are hard on the people that the compulsory order goes on for various different reasons. You take roads going, we just take the roads for example, going through parcels of land maybe and dividing up farms and all that. It's a hard blow on the people at the time. Somebody that owns property, if they own it and they have the deeds of their property, they're entitled to own it, they're entitled to do what they want with it. If it's a case that the property is fallen into disarray and is becoming a nuisance in a town, that's a different story. Mm. The people should be approached, said, what are you doing with a building? Why aren't you keeping up your standards in your building the same as the rest of the town from tidy towns point of view and all that? But at the same time, a person that has property, that's their right to have property, but they should keep it in a proper state. They can lease it out. Like, we have a lot of private houses in County Clare that are summer residents that are closed up for the winter. Maybe they could be encouraged to rent them for a period of time, but at the same time, they have to have, if they want them for a summer residence,
there's a lot more that are empty the whole year round. I'll let Dermot back in, but I want to take
just
to
say,
John, first of all, Dermot, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I think I looked at the figures myself, and I think they said in the census there was 80,000 properties. The figure is more like 25,000.
But I think we're asking questions, yeah.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the situation itself, I would like to see some sort of a housing association working together with local government and central government to renovate some of these properties. I'm looking at properties like we did some 20 years ago in places like Scunthorpe, believe it or not, in England, and we looked at shops and look at the properties above them that were empty, fallen into disrepair. Now, the housing associations got together and they actually improved those properties, put central heating in, double glazing and all the rest of it, and those properties were let. Now, they were easy access to the town centre, they were handy for work, there were also things. I would look at properties in the town, personally. I walk through town during the Flakeol and you see all the empty properties above shops. Yeah. I mean, it's time they were renovated.
Are there issues, though, with regards to some of those and, say, fire legislation? And is it not very, very expensive, or a lot more expensive than it might appear, to bring those back into habitable use?
It's not. It's probably a lot more expensive to buy a plot of land with the prices at the moment and build a house on it. So I think not. I think you've got to look at each case on an individual basis. Mm. It's difficult. I know some friends of mine bought a place in Aquitaine in France. Now, you don't pay anything there while you're repairing the property, and that can take sometimes up to 10, 15, 20 years or whatever. So there is an issue wherever you go. But I think in Ireland there is a problem with the homeless situation. Okay. And I was listening this morning to the figures in Dublin, which are horrendous. When you look at a lovely, nice, friendly place, and we were talking about rugby earlier on, everybody being together and all that, it's horrible to see people who are homeless, especially families.
Maybe, John, you have touched on something that's very important. You said there about doing up these apartments. Maybe we should be encouraging a grant towards rather than a compulsory order, a grant towards improving those properties and getting them to lease.
That might be an idea to go.
The government was elected by the people. It's for the common good, really, for the common good. And we got to keep that in mind, the common good. And people have hoarded land while people are going homeless, really. And the government have the power to use CPOs, compulsory purchase orders, and I think they should do it. And I'm looking at that. We have 28 councillors here in Clare, and they should stand up and be counted and deliver the houses that people that were elected expect to be delivered, really. They're sat in their hands for the last number of years. I've been at the council, sat in their hands and never said there was a crisis.
Hang on a second, it has been suggested to me the social housing bodies
are struggling, some of the social housing bodies, and I'm involved in one, struggling to get over the line to build one or two houses.
Been suggested to me that one of the reasons that there has been a low level of building, and I think it's been acknowledged publicly as well, is not necessarily a council level but a government level, because of all the red tape that you have to go through with each individual phase of building a house having to be signed off on. So yes, you're calling on the council to do more, but is it really their fault?
A lot of it to do with their fault in terms of the bureaucracy and the slowness.
At local level,
more can be done. I feel very strongly more can be done in terms of working more closely with the local association of housing, really, to identify places and to agree places that can be adapted for housing to people living. Now, just before I go there, there's a particular family here that I know quite well in County Clare. Once they were there, and they have three. The mother and father have three daughters that are living in temporary accommodation for the last number of months, really, and it's quite disgraceful.
People buy houses with their own money, says Sarah. It's their choice to do with them what they wish. Dermot needs to familiarise himself with the disgraceful abuse of homes by a huge number of diabolical tenants. Name and shame those people first. There's a reason why homeowners don't want to rent out homes using CPOs is bullying. Start giving lessons to tenants and respect to other homes. Rent a 5-star house, get back a pigsty. That's the other side of the debate. We'll leave it there, but that was Sarah's text this morning. Really, really briefly on this one, and I'll start with yourself, John Considine. Just your own thoughts on these protests in the States against Donald Trump during the American National Anthem. We seem to return to him most weeks during this discussion, much as we try not to, because there's always something new. But I think there were extraordinary scenes in a country where patriotism is such a high value, to see the National Anthem being used as a demonstration.
Well, I mean, if you go back to talking about some great sports people who use the National Anthem, Muhammad Ali, Jesse James, just all these sort of people over the years. I mean, Donald Trump, my God. Everywhere you go in the world, all you hear about is Donald Trump creating. I mean, he should be talking about looking after American people. And when you look at the South and the people he's picking on, I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Why shouldn't sports people come out there and say, look, I don't want my black brother or whatever it is, to be shot by the police. It's a big issue in America
at
the moment. So they've got every right.
But do you have any issue, or would you, if this was an issue in Ireland, or, for example, would you have an issue if somebody here decided to use Aran the Veen as the stage for their protest?
No, I wouldn't have any issue with it at all. I think you've got to make a protest where you can, and they're making the protest. They're getting national coverage. It's doing what they wanted it to do. So why shouldn't they use it? Listen to Donald Trump. For God's sake, he doesn't care about the ordinary, everyday people. It seems to me that when you look at where he goes and where he says these things, he uses different states and different parts of America to make his point. It comes over. It's a bit of support for him. But they've got every right to use whatever is their history to highlight these issues, and I have every sympathy with them.
I think, Martin, I was... I'm a fan of American football. I'm watching matches of a Sunday evening as and when I can. So I've seen these displays before, but to see, by which I mean the anthems as they usually are, but to see so many people uniting against the president, it's another sign of the times we're living in.
Correct. And I suppose I remember being here before when Donald Trump was been elected as president, and you asked my views, and I just said I was amazed. And I still amazed at the men. But I think, you know, I suppose we're living in very troubled times, whether we like it or not. There's an awful lot of unease in the world. An awful lot of people feel that their rights are being taken away from them. And a lot of coloured people in America feel that they're probably gone back in time, back to when I remember as a young lad back in the 60s when the coloured people in America really had a really rough time, and they feel that they're gone back in time, and they love their country, they honour their country, and they stand up for their country, and I suppose they're making this this as an opportunity to show their protest.
Okay.
It's not against the American flag or against the national anthem. It's just that please stand up and be counted and do something for us.
It's become a lot of different things as well, I think, from different quarters.
Yes.
But just maybe to yourself, Dermot, on the stage, the platform, the anthem being used in this way, is it appropriate?
Well, Obama was very clear about that when it happened during his when his time there, is that people have a constitutional right to do so. And not what he didn't agree with it, but they did have a constitutional right, and he was very clear about that. He didn't make it a big issue, and he didn't use the word they should be fired. He didn't go into a big rant in Alabama about it, really. So, and I very hard to see it ever happening in Ireland, really, you know.
I think people are very proud of their anthem, aren't they? Let's face it. I mean, every time you hear, when I first went to England, we used to hear the Irish anthem, and the hairs are standing at the back of your neck. It's a wonderful thing to hear.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, you know, but it's been used the way it's been used at the moment. Okay. But people do respect it. And these Americans are very proud Americans. They do love their country.
They do.
Martin said they absolutely love their country.
And they fight for the country, actually. A lot of those African.
We will be back with more in a moment. Let us know your thoughts at home.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
Christy tells me of a number of houses being sold together. He tells me where it's in the Ennis area, sold as one lot last year to a speculator. No offer could be made for one. Why did the council not buy them, he wonders this morning. Can't answer that one, but it's certainly one of the issues that have arisen with regards to the housing crisis. I wanted to finish, before we let our Friday panel go this morning, by talking about what is probably the biggest news story of the week, and it is the new motorway, Gort to Tuam, which, as we've discussed in the programme, will open up a lot for this particular county. And so many people, and look, I'll be honest, I've done myself, have told me they're going to take a spin on the motorway and check it out just for the sake of seeing the new road. And it got me thinking, as well as the motorway perhaps, where should we be taking a nice relaxing spin if the weather plays at ball this weekend? I'll go along the line and start with yourself, Martin McMahon. Your favourite drive in County Clare?
I suppose it is very hard to pick out one. We have such a beautiful county, it's very hard to pick one. One of the places on a fine day that I always really enjoy is anywhere along the Shannon. I think anywhere along, we'll say it's Scariff, the Mount Shannon side, or the Scariffs to Killaloe, or if you cross the bridge in Killaloe and go along the other side in the lookout, what they call the lookout on the other side, on a fine day, I think it's unbelievable. It's way ahead of Killarney. You often hear about the lakes of Killarney and that, but I think we actually have We have beautiful scenery. Another place I it's not a drive, it's a walk, is Mylusa. To the top of Mylusa, and the view that's off the top of Mylusa. Yeah. Magnificent.
Absolutely.
Magnificent.
Absolutely indeed, John.
I agree with Martin about Killaloe. Killaloe is lovely. Absolutely beautiful place. But my favourite place, really, everybody who comes to visit, we always take him up to the Cliffs of Moher and we end up in Doolin. It's absolutely fantastic. Doolin is a lovely, lovely place. And if you have time, go across to the islands. I mean, we did last year now and we had visitors and they absolutely loved it. But there's some beautiful places. The Burren is fantastic. But Clare is a beautiful county. It's actually a very, very, very beautiful county. And I think it's probably one of the best in Ireland.
Yeah, and we know the Wild Atlantic Way has made hay with regards to these driving holidays, Dermot, as well. So there's definitely an appetite out there for people to give it a shot. Where do you enjoy yourself?
Oh, the Loop Head. I love the Loop Head, really, you know, because you're looking out there on the Atlantic and possibly might see some dolphins or even a whale, if you're lucky, really. And, you know, looking out at the sea and... You're just remembering all those people that have lived there for centuries and have immigrated, and you know the depopulation as well. But just along there, right out the Loop Head is absolutely wonderful.
All the way out to the tip to the lighthouse.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
I remember being there during one of the storms a few years ago, and when you go right to the edge, I was by the coast on one side, but you could look over in the distance and see the waves crashing on the other side of the peninsula, somewhere near Kilbaha as well. That was the case as well. No, it's a beautiful place, and maybe that's somewhere that our listeners at home can give us their thoughts on as well. I need to leave it there, but a big thanks this morning to our Friday panel of Dermot Hayes, John Constantine, and Martin McMahon. Man, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
We will be heading to the junction next.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964, or email focus@clare.fm.